Get ready for Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith.
Rebecca Blacksmith.
Take a host with a few Ivy League graduate degrees, a room full of bright CEOs, and throw in a conversation about leadership. Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith. For all leaders listening right now.
Right now, right now.
I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith, here in the Leaders Portfolio studio today with the CEO of Gridpoint, Mr. John Spiritos. And Gridpoint was awarded the number one spot in the Always On Going Green 100 Top Private Companies Awards and the North American Frost & Sullivan Award for Green Excellence. Gridpoint, based in Arlington, Virginia, provides smart energy solutions. Customers include multi-site government agencies and Fortune 100 businesses and utilities. Welcome, John, to Leaders Portfolio.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, you're going to have to explain a little bit about what you provide your clients to save energy with.
Sure. Simply put, is the way I explain it to any new person who comes to work with us or any customer is we manage endpoints. An endpoint can be anything inside a building environment that, for example, consumes energy in a material amount. So we look at the major sources of consumption, HVAC systems, boilers, chillers, lighting systems, indoor and outdoor security systems. And on the utility side, we work with utilities as they roll out new technologies like photovoltaics, home energy management solutions. What we do is we provide a hardware, software, and services solution that integrates these devices into the electrical grid. Simply put, we help on the enterprise side, multi-site retail businesses better manage their energy footprints. Typically, when we deploy our hardware solution coupled to our software management solution, we can save them 15 to 20% per month per site. ROI is typically pretty quick, attractive. Customers typically get their money back on the solution within 18 to 24 months. And the savings that we generate for customers are long-lasting. I mean, once we put a solution in place and help them manage and optimize their energy consumption, those savings are typically in place for as long as they choose to work with us.
So to be selling a way for a company to save money, you are, in a way, totally positioned correctly for this Great Recession.
Yes, it's a nice counter-cyclical business in a sense that if the economy isn't growing at a relatively robust pace and our customers, enterprise customers, want to continue to reduce costs, by now they've typically cut what they can cut staff-wise, vendor management-wise, and energy for a lot of large customers, particularly multi-site retail customers, can be the third or fourth largest cost in their environment, typically until now under almost no control. Sort of a foregone conclusion, you get the power bill every month, you pay the power bill every month. What we help them do is better manage on a very granular way how to optimize and how to put business rules in place to consume less energy and be smarter about how they consume energy. So we characterize it as a digital switch in an analog world. We give customers the ability to dial up or dial down and dynamically tune the energy environments in their retail store presences.
And I was reading this case example. You had a product installed in a Wendy's and it allowed more control for the offsite business owner to control energy costs because he wanted to be able to, you know, I think shut the Wendy's lights off on Christmas, et cetera. So explain to me some of the differences that you have and some of your what would be competitors with providing that type of service.
Yeah, I mean, the Wendy's case is somewhat unique in a sense that Wendy's is a euphemism for any sort of multi-site food service retailer. The energy decision maker is the first person in the morning and the last person to leave. First person comes in, typically turns all the lights on, parking lot, street lights, ovens, fryers, chillers, everything to get the store ready for business. Practical matter is if you dynamically do that, don't make it too complicated, but bottom line is don't turn on the parking lot lights at 8 o'clock in the morning. They don't need to be on. Don't turn the air conditioning system on to 65 when it's only 74 degrees outside. Don't turn on certain kitchen appliances that won't be needed because you're not serving hamburgers until the afternoon. And then building business rules around how you manage those particular environments. Stocking and restocking is a typical activity in a store that can be done in the middle of the evening. It can be done in the daytime. What we often see are particularly when in environments where they serve food, is they open their freezer door up, somebody props the door open, sticks a pallet inside, and then unloads everything off the pallet, takes the pallet out, then closes the door. During that time period, you know, like your mother always said, all this cold air is leaving their freezer system. In an industrial grade freezer, that could cost the vendor several thousand dollars a month every time they stock and restock in the same method. So what we try to do is monitor, in that case, the freezer, monitor how long it's open, how long it's closed, and then give some feedback to the store owner or store operator to indicate to them that if they did things a little bit differently, they might be able to save a little bit of money. Competitively, really nobody does exactly what we do, which is a combination of hardware, we have to install something on site, software to do remote diagnostics, and then services, and basically a customer support layer that sits on top of that, so that the store manager, as opposed to the store owner in the Wendy's case, can call our data analyst and say, I've got a problem electronically in this store. Something's not working. Can you tell me what you think it is? Because you're looking at all the circuits in the entire store, and we can remotely diagnose, troubleshoot, in some cases fix.
Interesting. And I'm gonna turn this on you. You know, you help other people manage energy. In fact, you captured, I said, a couple awards, 100 Top Private Companies Going Green Award, and your chairman and founder became the founding chairman of the World Economic Forum's Council on Sustainable Energy. So I'm going to turn this on you and say, what decisions have you made at GridPoint to make yourself energy friendly that you were surprised about? Like maybe you didn't realize employees were doing X.
Well, we actually use our own technology, ironically. We rent space, but we got our landlord to actually install a few of our systems in place. And a lot of our employees actually use a stripped-down version of our system in their home environments. What is fun about being in our sector and having a lot of engineers running around developing things is they are typically trying things out on a regular basis. So we learn a lot about energy behavior patterns of the people in our own building. Do you turn the lights off when you leave the space? Some people don't because they don't want me to know as the boss that they're actually not coming back at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. In other cases, some people are fairly religious. Turn the lights on when they're in the office. Turn them off when they leave the office. Don't do certain silly things relative to the coffee maker, the microwave, et cetera. But we're actually pretty conscious about these particular issues. But more importantly, I think somewhat practical because we are trying to run a business. And what is important about our technology is you want to make it so that it's not so invasive and involving relative to the customer that you actually change the way they do business in a negative sense.
Or make somebody dependent on you, right? So that they don't.
Dependency is okay.
Okay.
No, when the market sort of catches up with what we're doing, being dependent is perfectly fine with us because it creates a barrier for ripping and replacing things.
Now you have a bachelor's from the University of California, a law degree from Southwestern University, and a master of laws degree, an MBA degree from Georgetown University. So what was it that you thought you were going to do? And as a career at the time?
I was a scientist by training, and quite honestly, my first startup was a massive failure. I was a grunt in the environment, but I thought it was a fun thing to do, so I took some risk right out of school, went to work for a startup.
Did you lose a lot of money?
I didn't. I was just a grunt.
Basically
a laborer trying to get involved in the biotech industry at the time. This was over 20-some years ago, and it didn't work out, but I thought it was interesting. But I also
noticed. You probably learned a lot.
I learned also at the time that when things go sideways, the lawyers make a lot of money, so I thought what they did was relatively interesting, and decided to hedge my bets a little bit and went to law school and practiced for quite a while. I had a great time, and then was lured away by a client who said, you've done the law thing. It sounds interesting, looks interesting, and noticed that you've got an interesting background. Why don't you come work with me? And I spent about 8 or 10 years with that person working in the tech space. Started out as an assistant to an ops person, really understanding how businesses operate, tech companies operate, and moved my way up from there to, in a later company, the president, and now the CEO.
And I noticed, too, a pattern of you work for a number of public companies, Converse Technology, Neustar, Corvus, Broadwing. So, I mean, is that something that you're kind of publicly talking about where you're considering taking GridPoint there eventually?
I've been lucky in hindsight to have worked with some fantastic people in some interesting environments. And we've been successful enough in a lot of cases to take the companies that were at one time private public. I typically operate with other people's money, venture capitalists or private equity firms. Their goal is to get it paid back to them and get some decent rate of return on top of that. And the only two ways to do it that I know of in the tech space are to take the companies public or sell them. So for Gridpoint, we're starting to hit our stride. I think we've got a good business model that works. And, you know, we keep our heads down and sort of plug away at things on a day-to-day basis. And hopefully one of those exits will come about, you know, sometime in the future.
What's your overall leadership philosophy?
Hire really good people and try to stay out of their way as a practical matter. I tend to be relatively apolitical. I'm not a big fan of politics in a corporate environment. If two people have a problem, I typically get them in the room with each other. If one person comes to my office to try to throw somebody else under the bus, I quickly grab the person who's about to be thrown under the bus, pull them into the meeting, and try to resolve the issue. I'm a big believer in sharing information laterally, meaning across groups. I push information out to folks until we figure out whether or not that information can go out as far as we've pushed it out. Tend to, you know, be relatively forgiving. What I mean by that is, in the tech space, you make a lot of mistakes. What you hope to do is not make the same mistake the next day. Mm-hmm. So I tell everybody, you know, I wake up, assess what I messed up yesterday and what I did well, and try not to repeat what I didn't do so well the day before. And if you're right more than you're wrong, typically things work out reasonably well. But I like to work with people who are transparent relative to information, want to work hard, can foster collaborative team environments and really sort of push the corporate agenda, which is just to try to create a business. As I tell people, the enemy is typically outside the building, not inside the building.
Now, your company, Gridpoint, has been featured in a number of books, Hot, Flat, and Crowded by Thomas Friedman, Perfect Power, How the Microgrid Revolution Will Unleash Cleaner, Greener, More Abundant Energy by Galvin and Yeager, and some other books. So why do you think your company is getting written about so much?
There are a handful of companies in this space that are trying to change the way utilities produce energy and the way consumers interact with what is in fact produced. It is one of the largest industries in the world that we work with. And if there's anything that's relatively clear going forward is that we're going to need more power and more clean water. So we just happen to pick the one sector that we understand, which is the energy space. Along with that, yeah, there's been a lot of social commentary books written about the growth in emerging markets and how getting clean, reliable power and clean, reliable water to these emerging markets and new populations, this burgeoning middle class, is extremely important. And here in the United States, we somewhat take it for granted because we've had a relatively reliable and robust power grid since we can all remember. Changing the dynamics of that grid, particularly in view of what has happened recently in Japan, is important so that we produce an enormous amount of energy every year and don't use most of it. We have a lot of spinning or backup reserves that are designed to provide supplementary energy in the event of a blackout or a brownout, and those are sparingly reserved, so to speak. So optimizing that footprint has really become sort of the mandate of the energy industry over the next 10, 15, 20 years, as well as upgrading the plant to make it bidirectional. Bidirectional in the sense that there needs to be signaling between consumers and producers and signaling between producers and consumers.
Excellent, excellent. Well, best of luck with Gridpoint's future.
Oh, thank you.
And thanks for sharing
appreciate
your leadership
your
story.
Today.
Appreciate it a lot. John Spiritos here with us. He is the CEO of Gridpoint. And, of course, you can find this interview at leadersportfolio.com. We'll return after this.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Are you a business leader who practices leadership? Apply for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Have a client who emphasizes leadership? Nominate their company for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. Past winners include startups, as well as a company producing $150 million a year in revenue. Tune in to Leaders Portfolio with Dr. Rebecca Blacksmith on the air and online at leadersportfolio.com. For Leaders Portfolio Awards information, visit leadersportfolio.com.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
Do you want others to know how your organization can help them? Then tell the business community why they need your business. Become a proud sponsor of Leaders Portfolio by calling 864-323-2600. By becoming a sponsor, you will be communicating directly with your target audience. Leaders Portfolio offers low-cost sponsorships for high impact, and Leaders Portfolio guarantees results. Let us tell you how by phoning 864-323-2600. That's 864-323-2600.
Dennis Coall Architects restored the most significant Beaux Arts building in the state of Virginia, the Hanley Library of Winchester. Be it through new construction, historic preservation, or environmentally friendly design, visit coallarchitects.com. For libraries, museums, corporate buildings, colleges, and specially designed houses, if you want architecture on your agenda, fusing function with beauty, then visit coallarchitects.com. That's K-O-W-A-L architects.com.
Leaders Portfolio with Rebecca Blacksmith, now playing at leadersportfolio.com.